With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker. Into the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown!
Here we go, right back again where we left off yesterday. Welcome to New Era Field in Orchard Park, New York. Another beautiful day here. Going to have a great week leading into the home opener. We're right next door to New Era Field. John Murphy and Steve Tasker in our Seneca studio inside the Pro Sports Training Center. The Bills making their way out to the practice field as we speak. They probably blew the whistle 35 seconds ago and are getting started for the practice, the first big practice getting set for the home opener, the Cincinnati Bengals. Good afternoon, Coach Tasker. How are you today?
Good. Yeah, it's time to turn the page, man. I start thinking about the Bengals and all that's going to happen this week, home opener. We're hearing a lot about, at this point, week three, just about every team has played at home now, right? I mean, this will be the last weekend that nobody's played at home.
Yeah, I would think so. Right? I haven't checked, but I'm sure everybody's been home by now.
Lots of questions going around, particularly we all know here as Bills fans what it's like here as a home game. But we also know that home game, home opener, is a special game. It's a special weekend, and it's a special weekend for the players too, particularly the draft picks, the rookie free agents, the veterans who have played here maybe in the past but not as a home team or have never seen this place on a home game or in a home opening game. It's a different weekend, and it's treated like that by the fans. It's treated like that by the players, particularly when you've gotten off to a two-game road swing and you've come back to home to start the season 2-0.
We don't have major college football here, Power 5 conference college football. We know the atmosphere is great at New Era Field on game day, but many of these guys, many of these players, Steve, play in big-time college football programs, and the atmosphere here would, I think, to them say, oh, yeah, it was kind of like that in Alabama, or it was kind of like that at Oklahoma, right?
I mean, right?
Cody Ford's got to think, yeah, I know, big game, I know what it feels like. Right?
I think it's probably true. They get that. They've played in front of big crowds before.
Yeah. Tailgate scenes like they'll have here.
I think it's different here. I'm not saying it's bigger and better, but it is unique. There's no question about it. It's a unique stadium. It's a unique atmosphere, and it's the team you're on right now. Believe me, it makes a difference. You can think back as a college player to what it was like when you're playing with your buddies and all that. It's different when you get to the top level. The consequences seem more severe, and the rewards seem more lucrative. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just more at stake when you're a professional athlete, and that added depth of meaning carries you through. It comes with you through that tunnel. And when you come out of there, you feel the weight of what you're about to do, the emotional weight, the investment that you put into it. And in college, you're always thinking, okay, I hope I play well today so I can, continue my career stuff. And when you get to this level, it's different. It's about winning. And you feel differently about the game. You feel differently about the future. If you win this game, if you lose this game, it carries a great deal of weight individually for each player. And I think that comes through when you walk out the tunnel, particularly on an opening day as a rookie in the National Football League. It's something you've always striven for. And there's just something more to it.
Fans feel different about it, obviously, and they should, especially with the team coming home 2-0, two straight wins on the road. That's never happened before to start a season, and here they come for the home opener. And the coaching staff feels differently. Sean McDermott, moments ago with his news conference on Wednesday, was asked about it. What's your favorite part, Coach McDermott, about home games at New Era Field? Here's what he had to say.
Just the people, driving in from where I live into the stadium and the smell in the air. I love that. I think it's unique to the NFL. Watching the tailgates, the environment around the tailgates is unique to the NFL. Like I said, the drive-in, very few places do people park in people's backyards around the NFL. So that's kind of neat and unique, and I love that. I love the signs that are out here on Big Tree Road and Abbott Road that advertise for part. I mean, I just think it's all part of our experience in Buffalo. I think it's special.
He's got it. And you know what he mentioned right off the bat was the smell. And as soon as he said that, I said, he's right. You know, it's one thing to see people tailgating and to see the frivolity and everybody's got Bills jerseys on and Zubaz pants, et cetera. But when you roll down your window, which I do on the way in, and you smell the charcoal and the charcoal lighter fluid, and sometimes you smell the food that they're cooking, that's really cool. It's the smell is part of the experience.
Yeah, the fire and whatever everybody's cooking. You know, open flames going on all every place. Yeah. And plus, when you drive in, and I know you do too, we get parking passes, right? So we don't have to park away and walk in, right? So we get to
pull. You drive through it.
Right, we drive through all of it, right? So you're dodging flying footballs.
Yeah.
You know, there's Frisbees everywhere. There's jerseys everywhere. I always like to, you know, you do the game with yourself. You have this thing I always do. You tag a story with every not weird jersey, but, well, like, you know, you see a guy with a Ted Washington jersey. Like, uh-huh. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a guy that played back in the 90s, you know, and you see a guy with a Bryce Pop jersey. Or you see a guy, you know, obviously you see a bunch of 12 jerseys and you see a bunch.
Of 89s.
You know who you rarely ever see, which is amazing? 78s.
Yeah. I've seen them. I saw some last week in New York.
Like, Bruce was like maybe the best player at his position of all time.
Yeah.
And you rarely see that. Weird number, first of all.
Yeah.
Right? He's like the only 78 that's not an offensive lineman or something, right? Nobody else. There was only one 78 in the entire NFL echelon that was ever a really great player, right?
I don't know. I'd have to think about that.
Right? You have to think about it.
Yeah.
That you just don't see very many Bruce Smith jerseys, which is amazing, especially in this town. But you always attach a jersey number. I always attach a story to it, you know?
What do you mean?
They have Fred Jackson jerseys. Oh, there's a Freddie fan, and you think, okay, you must have met him or must have liked, you know, all that stuff. You see Eric Mold's jerseys once in a while. He's a great player. He was truly an all-pro caliber player that played for like 50 quarterbacks, right, for this franchise. So I always like to see, you know, it always gives you an idea, too, of when these people kind of came of age as Bills fans.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of fun to see. But ton of that. And you see all the Frisbees flying, the footballs flying through the air, and people play football all the way up until the parking lots are full. You know, then there's no space left. So it's – and you drive through all of that and the smell of the open flames. It's completely – particularly for a game like this, sold out, you know, days ago, weeks ago. I don't know when, but it's all completely sold out. So you know everything's going to – people are going to get there early. This, you know, are you going to change your routine for this game?
Me? No.
Are you going to get in earlier because it's going to be more traffic?
A little bit.
What I mean? Yeah, right, a little bit.
9:30, 10 or so.
Yeah, you got to get in earlier.
Yeah.
Because
I just looked it up, famous 78s in NFL history. Bruce Smith is number one on this list. Anthony Munoz was 78.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's good.
He's one of my contemporaries.
Bobby Bell, Kansas City, 78. Richmond Webb, Miami, 78. Art Shell. For Oakland Raiders was 78. Jackie Slater, Hall of Famer for the Rams, was 78.
All of them offensive linemen except Bobby Bell.
Yeah. Who else? Bruce Armstrong, New England, was 78. Yeah, there's some famous 78. Wait a minute. Other notable 78s? Nobody. Not notable.
Nobody. Right?
Well, not
Bruce is head and shoulders above that crew. Well, I mean, Richmond Webb and Anthony Munoz, okay.
Yeah. Jim Dunaway of the Bills wore 78. Okay. Didn't know that.
All right.
That was a little side trip, a little path we went down. So practice is starting just in a moment or two. They're out there stretching. We're going to go to our man Chris Brown, Bills Insider at BuffaloBills.com. He'll join us from the practice sideline today. It's a beautiful day out there. Chris will be in a good mood. Coming up at 1 o'clock, Field Yates. He's our normal Wednesday 1 p.m. guest from ESPN. He's the ESPN NFL Insider. Field Yates will join us to talk about what's going on around the league, and there's a lot. Today, I was thinking, was the quietest day of this week so far as NFL news. Not a whole lot going on. Plus, Field Yates is a guru for fantasy football. He'll get talking about that. After practice, Ed Oliver scheduled to join us. That should be about 1:30, 2 o'clock. And we'll hear from Josh Allen. We'll hear from you as the afternoon goes along. Practice right now, they're lining up outside, getting ready outside in the grass practice field outside the Ed Pro Sports Training Center. Full practice today. There's some news here. Tyler Kroft, tight end, injured way back, broke a foot last spring in OTAs and mini camps. Has not played yet, has not really practiced today yet. He gets a full practice in today. I get the feeling that's kind of big, Steve. Will he play on Sunday? We don't know, but full practice today.
Yeah, that's big. I think it starts with kind of, you know, when he's limited, they're particularly as long as he's been out, they probably started getting him checking his conditioning, right? making sure he was in shape enough to practice and go. And now it'll be, I think most of it is going to be, geez, don't pull a muscle, you know, jumping back in so fast. He's been working into it, limited here, limited there, doing some stuff. But now that he goes full, I'm sure he'll have a little bump in adrenaline today. You have to probably
it's
keep
his
a
old
thumbs
team.
On him.
4 seasons right. In Cincinnati. He was the Bengals' third-round pick in 2015, and he's full practice today for the Bengals game. That's good. Limited practice today for return specialist wide receiver Andre Roberts. Had the quad injury from week one, has not played yet. That could be good if he comes back. Mm-hmm. Look, the Bills can do better, I think, in their kick return game and punt return game, right?
Yeah, we've been in conversations throughout the week's first week and second week. We've been watching games. You know, the Bills have covered one kickoff. They had to return. They tackled him inside the 15 last week when Saran Neal made that tackle. You just don't get to cover kickoffs anymore.
And they need better return work too. Look, it's great, right? In a 98-yard scoring drive, 75-yard scoring drive, 70-yard scoring drive. That you need a couple of short fields in there too, and that's where a guy like Andre Roberts could help out, I believe.
I agree, and it's going to come down to the punt return game. They got to start work. Got to get some work in on it. They faced a couple of good punters who've had some good days against the Bills, but you got to think Andre Roberts is going to help. And plus, you forget too. You and I talked about it a lot. Andre Roberts was really good in the offense.
Yeah,
when he was in training camp, you know, because you don't do too much return work in training camp and all those practices. Everybody practices offense and defense. He, and down in distance as a wide receiver, Andre Roberts was doing some really, really good things on the field. And I wonder how they're going to work their depth at wide receiver. In this last game, Robert Foster got a handful more snaps than Isaiah McKenzie. Isaiah McKenzie is a return guy, yeah, one of the things, but he hasn't been doing too much return work. Does he get deactivated or does Robert Foster get deactivated? Do they bring Andre Roberts on and start using him as the fourth wide receiver, third wide receiver? It's interesting. It's going to be fun to see.
Yeah.
And I say it's a big question mark.
On the downside, no practice today for cornerback Taron Johnson with that hamstring injury he suffered against the Jets. Did not play last week against the Giants, and he is not practicing today, still with a hamstring. We mentioned Saran Neal, who was the primary man who jumped in there as a nickel corner this past week, although there were a couple of others. And really the big story, no practice for running back Devin Singletary today. Strained his hamstring, 5 minutes to play in the game at the Giants. He is day-to-day, according to Sean McDermott, but he will not practice today. Look, they have depth there, Steve, and they have T.J. Yeldon, who represents, I think, quality depth at the running back spot. Yeah. But Singletary, even with just 10 carries, I think has been a valuable guy, a spark plug for this offense in the running game and the passing game. You'll miss him if he's not there.
I think so, too. He's gotten a lot of snaps, and I don't know whether it was because of his injury last week with 5 minutes to go or what, but Frank Gore has gotten a lot of snaps, more snaps than Singletary, but Singletary has been really good when he's touched the ball. And I think a lot of people are clamoring for him to get more touches in the offense. I think at this point the Bills are just doing what they got to do to win. I think at some point, yeah, he's going to get more touches. And, you know, there's going to be games where he's going to carry the load as a running back. But for right now, particularly in games where the Bills, like this Giant game, you know, the Bills were up from, you know, the second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, and they wanted Frank Gore to, you know, kind of shorten the game.
The snap counts, for through two games, Singletary's been in on 50% of the snaps, and Frank Gore's been in 44% of the snaps, but they kind of flipped it from week to week. And right. I think I said McDermott kind of told me last week that's what he was looking for. This past week, Frank Gore was in for 45 of the offensive snaps. Devin Singletary in for 25 of the offensive snaps. He got hurt with 5 minutes left in the game. Now, as far as production, rushing yardage, 10 carries is all that he has, that Devin Singletary has, but he has been productive, right? He's got some big plays. Devin Singletary, 10 carries for 127 yards, 12.7 yards per carry. Frank Gore, 30 carries, three times as many carries for just 88 yards. So you know what you're getting with those guys, and you may not get anything from Devin Singletary. Not practicing today, and the Bills would have to adjust for that, I would think, right?
Right, and here's the thing. In two games, Devin Singletary has 73 snaps out of 145 possible. Frank Gore has 64. So they're nine plays different on the field, like five plays a game, roughly. different. But Frank Gore, when he's out there, he's carrying the ball a lot more than Devin Singletary is. Now, certainly Devin Singletary's in the passing game. They're sending him out of the backfield and all of that. And Josh Allen's fine. And as you saw last week against the Giants, he found 8 different guys or 10 different guys with a reception. So there's a little bit of that going on with Devin Singletary's touches. I don't think it has as much to do with not wanting him to get the ball as it is Josh Allen finding the open guy, and it's not always Devin Singletary. So I think they're starting to find out who they are offensively, and we're starting to kind of see, you know, telltale signs that when they run the football, they like Frank up inside the tackles, particularly in games where they're leading. Which they have been in these games. Well, in this last game, I think that was very evident. So we'll see.
We'll see. And we're going to hear from Chris Brown, Bills insider from BuffaloBills.com. He is out on the sidelines of practice right now. Bills practicing outside the Ed Pro Sports Training Center. Beautiful day in Orchard Park. Chris Brown joins us. Good afternoon, Chris. It's a great day to be outside, right? Beautiful day.
Can't beat September here in Buffalo, that's right, for sure. Sun splash day out here. Low humidity, so not bad for the players either. You can work on your tan today, man.
Well, hey. I can't in here. You can. I can't.
Yeah, well, good luck with that, Brownie. Just don't go shirtless on the what do you see?
Don't worry about that.
What are your what's the first thing you're looking for today when you go out there?
Well, forget about what I was looking for. The curious thing that we see out here today is Tre'Davious White is in a red non-contact jersey. Huh. Not really sure what that's all about. Obviously, we'll know more when the injury report comes out later today, but that's clearly an indication that he is not going to be taking part in any contact drills, which means he could potentially be held out of some teamwork, which will make him a limited practice participant today. We'll have to find out why. And obviously the injury report will provide some information on that because he's going to have to be listed on the report.
The injury report, Tre'Davious White, that would be a loss. The injury report is going to say also that Devin Singletary is not practicing today. Chris, tell us what you make of that, what the Bills have to do. I don't know. They don't really have to make a move, right? Yeldon's pretty solid depth there at the running back spot.
Yeah, Coach was actually asked that very question at his press conference last hour, and he gave indication that they didn't feel the need to make that kind of a move right now. That could be one of two things. It could be, A, they feel they can get through a game with Frank, T.J. Yeldon, and Pat DeMarco serving as the chief ball carriers in the run game, or it means maybe Devin Singletary is closer to returning than any of us realize. We don't know the severity of the hamstring injury. The Bills have been guarded with that, so we're kind of beholden to what the injury report says, and we go off of that. But we know he's not going to participate today, and it looks like it's going to be a day-to-day assessment, not only by the team, but in us trying to get a handle on just what he will and will not be doing through the course of the week.
Frank Gore acquitted himself well, though, Brownie, last week with all of those carries, right? And they almost flipped roles last week, Gore and Singletary. The first week it was Singletary getting the snaps anyway, and last week they sort of reversed roles a little bit.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And if Singletary doesn't go this week for whatever reason, I would anticipate we see the role pretty much the same with Yeldon filling more of the third down role, knowing that he's done that in the past in his days in Jacksonville. And, you know, as we've said time and again, you know, coming off a career-high reception season last year with 55 catches as a third down back for Jacksonville behind Leonard Fournette. So it's not like they don't have answers that they can turn to or people they can turn to for answers. So that's there. I think we're just going to have to wait and see what Singletary can do coming through the week. I thought that the mesh points for the run game last week were a lot cleaner for the run game against the Giants. I think that's a byproduct of having a game under their belt, and I think the O-line and the backs behind them are kind of seeing the opening sooner, and that's why I felt that there was a smoothness to the run game last week that we didn't see on every running play the week prior. So certainly a good sign going forward.
Yeah, one of the things I'm looking forward to is I think this is going to mean T.J. Yeldon has to get on the field as a running back. And if you're not practicing on Wednesday and you're not even out there with even close, I think it's obvious Devin Singletary is probably not going to be available on Sunday. Or at least they're thinking that. T.J. Yeldon is going to take some reps I think that, I mean, and
I don't know about it. I mean, Chris, well, go ahead and answer the question. I'm not ruling him out, Singletary. Are you, Chris?
Yeah, I would reserve judgment on that, yeah, too. I mean, we're only at Wednesday. I mean, we've seen guys miss Wednesday and Thursday and get on the field Friday and play in a game. So I think we got to hold our water on that one a little bit and see what tomorrow holds, and then even Friday. You know, Thursday typically is the most important practice. It's the padded practice of the week. It's where it's the most game-like, per se, usually. So, if he's not out here tomorrow doing any of that, even in a limited capacity, you know, then we can turn up the concern meter for sure. Yeldon's a veteran. I think he's acquitted himself well. I thought he bounced back very well from that fumble in the first preseason game. He put it on himself. He owned it. And performed well the rest of the preseason in the action that he did get. And I think if he's called upon, he's going to be ready.
I don't think there's any question that they like the depth they've got. They don't have any problem moving Yeldon up into the rotation with Frank Gore if Singletary cannot go, particularly with DeMarco being still there as well. So I don't think they change their offense at all without Devin Singletary, although their play selection may change a little bit. I think TJ Yeldon does things differently than Singletary would, but I think they just kind of expand Gore and what they expect him to bring and just give TJ some plays. I don't think this changes things at all if Devin Singletary's not in the game.
No, I don't think so in terms of offensive philosophy. There may be some different plays that you like or don't or steer away from with Yeldon in the game as opposed to Singletary, because they are different body types. I think they're different style players. Yeldon, a big back with good movement skills, but I don't think he's quite as elusive as Devin is. So you may change your play calling sheet a little bit based on that. But, you want to throw some flare passes on third down to get the ball out of Josh's hand because the pass rush is coming. TJ Yeldon can absolutely 100% fit the bill there.
Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, reporting to us from the practice field outside the Ed Pro Sports Training Center. Bills getting set for Cincinnati. Chris, I wish I had a nickel for every time I've said this week. It's only two games. But it's only two games, and yet last year's 52% completion percentage passer is now a 64% completion percentage passer.
Yep.
Too soon for Josh Allen to start taking bows for that? What do you think?
No, I think it's an encouraging sign. I think we were hoping that we would see him build off of his last start last season in the season finale against Miami. And, you know, say what you will about whether Miami was running for the bus or not, but he was a 65% passer in that game. And everybody's like, well, it was one game. Miami really wasn't, you know, going for broke in that game. They were mailing in the season. They knew their season was going nowhere. Okay, fine. But I think the fact that he's been able to duplicate that in these first two games in terms of completion percentage on the whole is certainly an encouraging thing. And people might say, he's throwing a lot more shorter passes. He's got Cole Beasley now with these high percentage throws underneath. And I'll tell you, I'll take that a step further. His yards per attempt last year was around 6.5, and right now he's at 7.5. So I think that kind of refutes that argument. If you want to say he's throwing more shorter, high completion throws, the yards per attempt would indicate not.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with throwing shorter, high completion throws.
That's what everybody does.
Yeah, how do you think guys get to 65%?
I don't have a problem with it. I'm just saying, you know, there's the devil's advocate out there that may come to the table with that to argue, well, his completion percentage is up because of that, and that's patently untrue.
That's all the people who, made a half a career out of saying how inaccurate Josh Allen was and he never worked in the NFL. Those people are kind of quiet right now.
Yeah, he's giving them less and less ground to stand on.
Yeah.
I mean, they're running out of arguments.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, he is. And I'll say this, too. I don't know if this was planned by Coach McDermott, but knowing how detail-oriented he is, the first song out here from the DJs at the start of practice was Public Enemies Don't Believe the Hype. So I don't know if that's a message for the 2-0 Bills out here or not, but I thought it was an interesting selection in terms of the playlist, shall we say.
Yeah.
I should also
mention,
guys, that two other guys not participating out here, John Brown and Ty Nsekhe, it could very well be veteran rest days. Again, we're going to have to wait on the injury report to know whether or not that was the case or is the case here right now.
One other guy I want to talk to you about is Tyler Croft. He's been injured. He's been on the shelf for the entire offseason. They had surgery on his foot. He's back in. And no, by no, maybe perhaps by some fortuitous break in destiny, he's coming back or has a chance to come back and fully practice in the same week they're playing his old team. You think that was orchestrated for a month?
Fortuitous break. I got to write this down.
Fortuitous break in his destiny. Yes.
That is fantastic. I got to keep that one. That's a 50-cent sentence there, Steve. Well done. I would say the chances are good that he plays this week. I think they've been supremely cautious in bringing him back in a very almost on an incremental basis here, guys. And I think it's because this is a foot injury that he's had before. He's had to have surgery on it in the spring. He was listed as doubtful in week one, did not dress. Listed as questionable in week two, did not dress. There's no more probable on the injury reports anymore. So you're hoping with a full go in practice here today that he feels great tomorrow. And what that could hold is a very promising chance for him to be dressed for Sunday's game against his old team. So, yeah, very fortuitous. Bill's debut against his former club.
All four tight ends up on Sunday, would you think? How will they play that?
Yeah, that could be tricky, yeah. And that might hinge on some other elements that are happening on the injury list. You know, is Andre Roberts healthy? Can he play? Does he make his Bills debut this Sunday? I think if he's up, that probably means only three tight ends are up this week, sure, if Croft is healthy and ready to go.
Well, the interesting thing about it is you see those tight ends run off Lee Smith, Dawson Knox, Tommy Sweeney, and, of course, Tyler Croft. They're all the same guy. I mean, they're all 6'5 guys. The only guy that doesn't fit is Lee Smith, who is a kind of an offensive lineman. But Sweeney and Knox are really cut out of the same carbon copy as Tyler Croft. They're all kind of these tall, lanky dudes who really, I think, in the core are kind of wide receiver type tight ends. Now, they are getting pretty good edge blocking from all of them. But Lee Smith has set himself apart as a blocking tight end. But, man, oh, man, Tyler Croft, you talk about it. If you're looking at the Buffalo Bills, you got to get a pretty good idea of what they want in a tight end. Look at the three top guys they've got.
Yeah, and the interesting thing there is what, you know, and we're getting a little down the rabbit hole here, but let's assume for now that Tyler Croft is active on Sunday and does dress and does play. I'm going to be interested to see what they feel comfortable with him doing in terms of assignments and demand on that foot in his first game action. Are they simply just going to have him detached all day and running routes in the passing game? Or are they going to have him stand in there and grind and block a little bit in the run game with Lee Smith if they go 12 personnel, for example? I'm just curious to see how much demand and torque they want to put on that foot. Not to say it's not going to be under stress and torque when you're running routes and, you know, breaking down and getting in and out of breaks. There's torque there too, for sure. I'm just curious what the workload's going to be like for him. I don't think it's going to be solely predicated on the game plan. I think it might also be predicated on what, you know, the medical staff and everybody feels comfortable with him doing in the scope of the offense.
I'm with you, Brownie. I think it's going to be really interesting if Dawson Knox is ready to go and Andre Roberts is ready to go, how they're going to work their inactives this week off that 53-man. I think that's an enormous question. I think the Bengals have got to be sitting there scratching their heads wondering as well.
Yeah, and I don't know that it's tremendously strategic because, you know, Cincinnati, if they're doing their due diligence, they're preparing for all of those players to be available and up on Sunday and have matchups planned for accordingly. But, yeah, Croft has not been on film in this offense yet. Andre Roberts, basically preseason film in this offense. So those are two elements that the Bills could bring to the table this week where Cincinnati really doesn't have much to go on.
Chris, thanks for this. We'll talk again tomorrow. Thank you.
You got it, guys.
Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. You can catch his work there. He will write about today's practice and let you know what went on. I have the updated injury report when practice ends. We thank him for joining us. Got a good show here coming up today. Did I tell you what's coming up? You just heard Chris coming up at 1 o'clock. Field Yates from ESPN, fantasy football guru, and all-around NFL expert, Ed Oliver. Bills defensive lineman coming up after practice today. Need your participation as well. And look, we're not we don't have a parade coming down Abbott Road yet, but the Bills are 2-0. And our question of the day, not a Twitter poll, but a question today: what's the best thing the Buffalo Bills have done to get off to this 2-0 start? You decide. We have no options for you to vote on. The best thing the Bills have done to get off to a 2-0 start this year. Love to hear from you. Phone lines open, 803-0550. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Send it a tweet. We can read it on the tweet sheet. Let us know what you think. What's the best thing the Bills have done to get off to this good start this year? All right, a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about that question and let you know what else is going on here and around the NFL. Come on back with us. One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health. We're at the Seneca Studio at One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, One Bills Live. We have had our check-in with Chris Brown and stuff to watch on the field today, in the practice field today. Tre'Davious White, starting corner in a red non-contact jersey. No practice for Devin Singletary. No practice for Taron Johnson. Full practice for Tyler Croft and limited work for Andre Roberts. We'll keep you up to date on that all day long as soon as we know something. And, of course, the post-practice injury report will be out later today, probably at 3:01. And but you can that's when it comes out.
Yeah, I know.
You know.
I know. We're living the dream, man. Everything happens just after we can use it.
Best thing the Bills have done to get off to this 2-0 start. That's what we'd like to talk with you about today. And again, we're not in celebration mode. There's a long way to go. As I said to Chris Brown, I've probably said it in the last 3 days 150 times. Only 2-0. Only 2-0. And it's real. They're only 2-0. I mean, you got mad at me. I had the stat the other day. It's up on the website now. The Bills started 3-0, by the way, back in 2011, finished that season with 6 wins. Not saying that'll happen, but that kind of stuff can happen. That kind of stuff can happen to this team or any team in the league.
Yeah,
that's not a Bills
anybody.
Thing. That's an NFL thing.
Right.
Anyway, what's the best
week-to-week league?
It is a week-to-week league.
I heard that somewhere, and I can't remember who exactly said it.
It's true. You know it's true.
It is true.
Things
it's a
happen.
Week-to-week league. I mean, think about the Jets.
Yeah.
They went into opening day thinking, all right, here we go.
Here we
Le'Veon
go.
Bell, C.J. Mosley, Sam Darnold. All those, let's go, man. This is going to be awesome.
They are almost dead now.
Their
season's not over, but right now they are almost dead.
It's not over, but their plane's on fire, and it is diving nose first.
Yeah. Mayday, right?
It's unbelievable.
Seriously.
And listen,
Luke Falk's going to start week three at quarterback
Luke
for the Jets.
Luke Falk.
Yeah.
Who was – so, you know, it could happen to anybody, including
yes.
the team we cover, including the Bills, including the Patriots, including all these other teams. It could happen to anybody. We've seen it. The Patriots lost another offensive lineman today.
Yeah.
You know, so they've got their own issues to deal with. And it's, you know, the Dolphins, I mean, first it was
– Now that we saw.
First it was Kiko Alonso.
Yeah.
Then it was Laremy Tunsil. Now it's Minka Fitzpatrick. These guys, I'm out of – they're bailing.
They've got the –
Forget about the
time.
Team tanking. The players are bailing.
Right.
They're like, I'm out of here, man. Forget
yep.
it.
Yep.
Woo!
So that's the point. Yeah, 2-0 is great, but it doesn't guarantee anything. And we want to know from you what's the best thing the Bills have done to get 2-0 so far. Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Or you can send in a tweet. We'll read it on the tweet sheet. We're going to get to that in a moment. Call first, Jerry in Niagara Falls. Hello, Jerry. Go ahead. You're on the air with us.
John and Steve, hey.
Hey.
50-year Bills fan.
Excellent.
You know something? Our offense is very good, but they're missing something, and I think McDermott, and I love him, is missing something. If you had a nice 6'4 receiver in the end zone, and there's a guy on the practice squad who in Canada they thought was the best guy they ever seen, and I think we need something like that when we play these New England teams and better teams. I'll hang up and
– All right. And you're talking about
I
Duke.
Get it. Well, you got four tight ends that are all 6'5". You can throw all them out there too. I mean, there's nothing that says you don't have to run that fast when you've only got a 10-yard field too. So
Zay Jones is not small. He's 6'2", 200 pounds right. On paper. He's not a small receiver.
Yeah. So I mean, they've got. Believe me, when they want it, they'll put somebody out there that can do it. But you're right. I mean, Duke Williams made a spot for himself on the practice squad of this team. I think they like what he brings to it, and it's going to be interesting to see if he ever gets activated. Right now they've got Robert Foster, Isaiah McKenzie, and Andre Roberts rounding out the field from Cole Beasley, John Brown, and Zay Jones. So those are the six guys that are active. If anything happens to any one of those, you can bet that the next guy up is going to be somebody, and maybe Duke Williams. But, it all sounds great when you've got this 9-foot-tall wide receiver who can go out. We've seen it with Gronk. Those guys are hard to find, and they're – you know, it's just not that easy, is what I'm trying to get at. It's not that easy just to line the guy up and let him go out there and jump for it. The other guys on playing defense around the NFL that we're going to be playing in the upcoming weeks in Cincinnati and in New England, in Miami, in Pittsburgh, and all that, they got some guys on scholarship too.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was that easy, it'd just be about going out and hiring a basketball player to play wide receiver and bring him in on certain downs. You can defend those guys, too. So I get what you're saying, Jerry, but by the same token, you need the guys on your team to do a lot of things well, not just one.
Hey, let's get to the tweet sheet. It is brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official movers of the Buffalo Bills. Want to know from you, what's the best thing the Bills have done that helps them get off to this 2-0 start so far? We'll start with John. John tweets in, Bean and McDermott rebuilding the offensive line through free agency and the draft. Between the pass protection and the run blocking, literally pushing opposing defensive players back or running them over, this O-line is miles ahead of last year. I agree. Miles ahead, and I would think that's the best thing I think about the 2-0 start. And to me, it was the thing I was maybe least sure of. I knew John Brown was a good player. I knew Cole Beasley had a role to play and would play it. He has. I knew that the running backs were going to be fine. Once you saw Motor Singletary in the preseason, I knew that would be fine. But I did not know as recently as 2 weeks ago what this offensive line would look like. Shoot, two weeks ago, I didn't know who was going to line up where. And now that I see it, now they see how they're doing. And they're not perfect. And they've got they're still trying to work some spots in. But that, to me, is the most surprising and the best part of the 2-0 start, the way the offensive line has played.
I agree. I think that has led to the fact that last year the team averaged, 14 points a game? Now they're averaging, I think, somewhere like 22 points a game. They had 27 and 17, or 28 and 17, respectively. I think it's 45 points a game. So they're already averaging more than a touchdown, more than they did a year ago. And I think it starts with the offensive line. Certainly the guys outside, Cole Beasley, John Brown, and the development of Josh Allen, Frank Gore, the tight ends, all we've been talking about. All those guys are good, but none of it happens if they don't have time to throw the football or room to run the football and be more balanced when they want to be more balanced. The offensive line has been a huge factor. It was an enormous point of emphasis. We spent months talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't know if it was going to work right up until opening day when Mitch Morse finally showed up in that week and they got themselves settled in. And already, I mean, the contrast is stark from where they were a year ago with their offensive line. And the results are evident. Already they're scoring more than a touchdown, a game more.
We're in the tweet sheet. Why don't you give us another one off the tweet sheet there, Steve?
Tweet sheet from Johnny. He says, playing smart football on both sides of the ball, staying disciplined and limiting penalties has been a huge positive, and the limiting of turnovers has helped out a lot on the offensive side of the ball. Certainly we saw him overcome four turnovers in the Jet game, Johnny, and then not turn it over at all against the Giants in a game. And both those games, the Bills were in control of both those games, I thought. Even
down 16 to nothing.
Even down 16 to nothing, they were outplaying the Jets. I thought, offensively, they were moving the football and the batted passes and a muffed exchange. I don't want to, they counted, yes, but even so, the Bills inside those turnovers were playing extremely well, and the Bills defense holding them to just 8 points on the half or on the game was huge in that. I thought the Bills were a better football team than the Jets. It showed in the final outcome, even though it was by 1 point. And the Giants, outside of that first drive, for 3.5 quarters of that game, the Bills were in control of that. So I'm I'm with you totally. I think their ability to stay disciplined, keep the penalties down, and limit turnovers, man, they're a tough team to beat.
We'll get more on this. The best thing the Bills have done to start this season 2-0, want to hear from you on the phones or send in a tweet. We'll read it on the tweet sheet. Steve came in today with a smile cookie from Tim Hortons. How was that?
It was good.
Did you bring it out here? Is it gone already?
Oh, that
dusted?
That was 90 minutes digested. You know, it was really good.
This
really
is the good. Week for was, smile cookie.
Yeah, it wasn't my favorite kind of cookie, but I ate it, and it was surprisingly good for me. You know, I'm a chocolate chip guy. This wasn't a chocolate chip.
What was it?
I don't know, some sort of raisin oatmeal thing. It was really good.
Smile cookies all this week at Tim Hortons Buffalo area locations. $1, right? You paid $1 for it?
It's a little early in the day for me, but I still, you know, I worked it down. And got it down.
Proceeds go to the ECMC Trauma Center. And this Sunday, ECMC will sell cookies in the lots and sweets here at New Era Field on game day. And there's all kinds of promotion for the smile cookie, a contest. If you share a photo of a smile cookie using the hashtag show us your smile on Twitter or Instagram, you have a chance to win 2 tickets and pregame on-field passes to the home opener this Sunday and a $20 gift card to Tim Hortons.
I forgot about the show us your smile. I can't. I don't have my cookie. It's gone.
You don't need a cookie.
I do have my – I got to have a cookie in the
picture.
Oh,
you got to share a photo of a smile cookie.
Yeah, you got to have a cookie in the
You have to get one tomorrow.
It's a huge mental mistake.
Yeah, smile cookies all this week, Tim Hortons.
Well, that gives me an excuse to do it tomorrow.
Come on back. We got more of the show to come. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health from our Seneca studio at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. It's One Bills Live. I'm John Murphy. Next to Steve Tasker. We're here until 3 today. Field Yates of ESPN coming up with us at 1 o'clock today. We're asking you the question this segment. What's the best thing the Bills have done to get started 2-0 this year? What do you think? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Denny on the line from Henrietta, New York. Go ahead, Denny. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. I just want to say it's kind of a three-part thing. I want to say expectation management, locker room management, and ego management. While the rest of the AFC right now look like a dumpster fire, I think we look like a diesel engine. And I just want to credit, Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean. It's not an easy thing to do, especially in a league of, you know, there's a lot of talent out there and a lot of egos. And I just don't see that in this Bills team. And I just see them, you know, a very tunnel vision mindset from these guys. And I'm excited.
Interesting. Ego management was, I always thought, Steve, a large portion of Marv Levy's success as your head coach. Seriously, not your
particular. Are you kidding me? We had some.
Yes.
Yeah. And I was included in it. I was a pig, too.
No.
So, that was a big issue back then. And it not so much here. That back then was a little bit different philosophy. Now, they did put a lot of emphasis, or at least they said they put a lot of emphasis on the character of that team and stuff. But we also had some guys in there who were high character guys who were policemen, guys like Daryl Talley, Ken Hull, guys who were able to talk to the big rock stars on, you know, John Paul, George and Ringo, you know, the Beatles. You know, we had guys that could, you know, rein those guys in and get them on the right path. And it was a lot of fun to be a part of. And I'll go along with Denny, the caller. This crew doesn't have any of that. It seems to be a real family type, all in it together, nobody more important than anybody else kind of atmosphere. And it starts with the head coach and his coaching staff. I think it's a really, really intriguing atmosphere that they've cultivated here. I think it does make a big, big difference in the outcome of these games and the way these games are take place on the field, and the way they prepare Monday through Saturday, which is as big a factor in anything as you can imagine. So I'm with Denny. I think that the atmosphere and all the expectations and the locker room that they have and the egos that they manage, I think it all goes into that pot, and it has made for this a huge measure is a reason for their fast start.
And the name of that pot and people don't want to acknowledge it, the name of that pot is culture, team culture, right?
There's
all that stuff is filed under team culture.
We have this it's a big topic here in Buffalo about this team because Sean McDermott has made a big point about it. The team makes a big point about it. They trumpet it a lot. It shows up every once in a while in tangible ways. At least they say it's culture that does it. And there's people, most notably on this station, who they kind of poo-poo it.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, not kind of.
Oh, yeah. I don't. I believe and have seen how and felt and lived how important it is. That's all there is to it. I mean, I think coaches all over the league don't say it because it's not true. They say it because it is true.
Let's take a call here from Phil in Buffalo. Go ahead, Phil. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Okay.
I just remember watching the game Sunday, that first drive when Saquon, they marched down the field and he scored. And I was like, uh-oh, here we go. We're in for a long day. And then something happened. The coaches made the adjustment, and the defense showed up, and we shut them down. And that was the rest of the story for the rest of the game. And it was neat to see adjustments being made in game and see the results and see that process that they're talking about making strides. And there was one play where Allen rolled out to the right. And he's on the run, and he makes that throw. I think he hit the tight end, but he hit him right in the chest with a fastball. You know, great throw. If that throw's 3 yards wide either side, that's an interception, and that's a turnover. But he made the throw, and it was a third down, I believe. I'm not sure. But that made me just be like, you know, this guy gets it, and he's doing it. And it was just a great day and a great game, and we did it, and now we're on to Cincinnati and the home opener, and I think it's going to be a blast, and can't wait for the smells of the barbecues and all the fires and everything on Sunday. It's going to be great. So,
it's going to be fun.
Yeah. You're right, Phil, and there's a lot of things you point to there. That first drive where they got hit in the mouth by the Giants, both offensively and defensively. It was a 3-and-out offensively, and right after a defense that God ran right through, and they had to punt it back to that same offense. But something was different. They come out for the second series, and they talked about it, made some adjustments, and they shored it up, and they stopped them the rest of the game, with the exception of a drive. The offense came out and got it together. You saw Josh Allen make a play when the team needed him to make a play. You saw guys come through. And all these things, you know, kind of compile to buy confidence, a confidence level from the fan base, right? I mean, we start to feel like, wow, look at our coaching staff did make a difference there.
Yeah.
They did make that, you know? And they are thinking about this. They, even though they didn't go for a they went conservative at the end of the first half. Maybe it's because they felt confident with what they were in control of the game. They're by 2 touchdowns. Why do we need to risk anything here? Let them risk it, right? All these decisions and plays that guys make and adjustments that we can more perceive than actually tangibly describe give you a lot of confidence going forward. But let me say it this time. It's only 2 games.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
We got a long way to go, bro.
You're taking me off the hook. Long way to go. And stuff will happen, good stuff and bad stuff. Got to be ready for it. Hey, if you're coming out to the game Sunday and if you're coming in a limo or a bus, don't forget you need a permit ahead of time to park in the new bus and limo parking lot. If your bus or limo does not have a permit, it'll be turned away. For more information on bus and limo parking permits, contact Tailgate Guys. Email them at bills@tailgateguys.com or call 716-982-8119. Tailgate Guys. This week. Starts this week. The bus and limo parking. Field Yates is going to join us. If you have fantasy football questions, he's the guy to ask. He's coming up next after the top of the hour. Field Yates from ESPN. We'll talk about the Bills and the rest of the league as well. Come on back. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.